A rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. A dinghy filled with people speeds away from a cruise ship moored next to a snow-covered peak.
Every summer, tens of thousands of tourists flock to a peculiarly British outpost on the Antarctic Peninsula. They are drawn here by the spectacle of Gentoo penguins and a post office from where they can send a postcard home.
A tourist affixes a penguin stamp to a postcard.
The post office is staffed by a dedicated team who, over the next 4 months, will live as neighbours to these extraordinary birds.
Penguins leap through water.
But the penguin's story is not always picture postcard. Infighting, marital squabbles, and daylight robbery are routine. And growing chicks must overcome many hurdles if they are to survive to adulthood.
Adult penguins peck at a chick.
This unique backdrop, where people and penguins live cheek by beak, offers an intimate view into the life of one of the world's most loved birds.
The post office, a red and black building.
Welcome to Penguin Post Office.
The footage of the building's turned into a postcard which reads, "Greetings from Penguin Post Office." Narrated by Juliet Stevenson. Sped up footage shows dozens of penguins hopping out of the ocean, then waddling over rocks and snow.
It's early November, summer on the Antarctic Peninsula, and around 3,000 Gentoo penguins are returning from an intensive spell of deep-sea fishing to their breeding grounds at Port Lockroy.
The penguins have orange beaks and white bonnet-like markings across the top of their heads.
The Gentoos are in a rush to establish nest sites. The longer days and warmer temperatures encourage the penguins to start the business of finding a mate to breed and raise young.
Penguins swarm over the frozen landscape.
Many will have to walk the best part of 2 miles in search of a suitable nest site. An arduous journey for a bird with big feet and very short legs.
Dozens of penguins waddle across the snow.
But what makes this colony of Gentoos particularly unusual is that every year they choose to take up residence alongside Port Lockroy's other summer inhabitants. People.
Three people trudge across the snow.
An advance party from the United Kingdom Antarctic Heritage Trust has arrived at Port Lockroy in preparation for the forthcoming tourist season.
One of the visitors is pulling a sleigh.
This year, the water surrounding their island base is still frozen solid, and so, like the penguins, they take a path across the sea ice.
They're heading towards the post office.
Their destination is a remote British outpost with an extraordinary history.
They trudge past a group of penguins.
Today, it's the most popular tourist attraction in Antarctica. The big draw being penguins and the Penguin Post Office.
The visitor, who's pulling the sleigh, pushes the post office door open.
Welcome to Port Lockroy.
A world map shows the location of the post office.
Port Lockroy is about 700 miles to the south of Argentina and Chile and lies in the heart of the Antarctic Peninsula, which forms the northernmost part of mainland Antarctica. Here on the island, this building houses the world's most southerly public post office. A charitable gift shop that supports a number of Antarctic heritage sites. and a museum dedicated to Port Lockroy's history that goes back to the dawn of Antarctic exploration.
Vintage toiletries above a wash basin.
Port Lockroy was first discovered in the early 1900s by French explorers as a safe place to anchor and shelter from harsh storms. Later, whalers working the waters around the Antarctic Peninsula processed their catch here. But in the early 20th century, as nations around the world started to claim ownership of parts of Antarctica, the British wanted to get in on the act.
The British realised they needed what they called, we need a permanent presence on the peninsula if we're going to actually protect our claim. So they brought down two wooden huts on a ship called Base A and Base B, and this is Base A.
Rachel Morgan, UK Antarctic Heritage Trust. Archive footage shows a wooden sign featuring the Union Jack and crude hand lettering which reads British Crown Land.
In 1943, here at Base A, also known as Bransfield House, the British established a research centre for the upper atmosphere. Their work was crucial in the development of high-frequency radio communications. The base also acted as a post office in order to reinforce Britain's claim on the peninsula, and occasional passing ships would deliver letters back to the UK.
A black and white photograph shows a postal officer at work.
The base was continuously manned by scientists from 1943 until it was closed in 1959. The men worked a 33-month tour of duty, which included two very long, harsh winters when there were no visiting ships. But their life here was not as hard as you might imagine, as they made Bransfield House a home from home, incorporating almost every comfort they were used to back in Britain.
This is a fabulous room. We've got the gramophone that men would listen to. We've got the picture of the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen. Every British base certainly had those photographs. We've got the bar. The men enjoyed a tipple. Player's Navy Cup, of course, everybody smoked in those days.
And with no women on the base, the men were free to decorate in a style of their choosing.
You've got marvellous paintings that guys painted of, you know, Hollywood movie stars, women, of course. On the walls in the bunk room, Marilyn Monroe, Diana Dors, Elizabeth Taylor, I have to look around, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor's over there, and Doris Day, yes, Doris Day was one of my favourites. It was an all-male contingent down here, sometimes for, you know, overwintering, obviously, and the mind, you know, the mind wanders. So, of course, yeah, it was a nice way to express yourself.
Skip Novak, Antarctic sailor and explorer.
But one sight the men would not have enjoyed is that of the Gentoo penguins. They arrived on the island after the scientists had left, and over the past 50 years, as the climate in Antarctica has warmed, the snow has started to melt earlier in the season, giving the Gentoo penguins new nest sites amongst the rocks.
Penguins near the post office building.
But this year, there is more snow than usual, and the team have some hard work ahead of them. Soon, they will be welcoming thousands of tourists from passing cruise ships to the museum, gift shop, and post office. They have a long summer ahead of them.
Christy Leslie, Deputy Postmaster, British Antarctic Territory.
For me, it's really about the opportunity to immerse in this environment and spend a good amount of time here, a whole season here, and see all of the changes that happen from November until March. And so many things do change. The penguins arrive, they mate, they lay eggs, the eggs hatch, the chicks fledge, and then they go. And seeing that, you know, who gets to see that? I mean, I never watch a bird go through its whole entire life cycle, and here I'll get to do that, and with a penguin, which is, you know, a pretty cool bird.
Most Gentoos remain faithful to their partner for life, and now the penguins have started their courting rituals. Underneath the Union Jack, A pair have claimed their regular nesting spot and reaffirm their bond by bowing heads. Down at the boat shed, another couple gets reacquainted. All over the island, gentoos are preparing to breed.
An aerial view of the post office.
This year will be particularly busy at Port Lockroy, as up to 10 members of staff will come and go. The core post office team consists of 4 women, led by Helen, who first came here 6 years ago.
Helen Annan, base leader.
The first time I came here, it was just somewhere I'd always wanted to visit. I just love going to wild places. I was just drawn by the remoteness of it and the hardness of living here, the cold and the difficulties, and the fact that even though we're living in a lovely warm building, we're still camping basically in a hut. We're camping, we've got no running water. It's very basic.
The chance to work in Antarctica offered Jane, who trained as a lawyer in England, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
People at home just are amazed that, you know, I'm lucky enough to have this opportunity, really. They think it's great. They think I'm mad because I'm always cold, so I'll just be freezing here. But to start with, you just can't believe it. Everywhere you look, there's a penguin. So it takes a little bit of a while to adjust to that. And then once you do, it's just this constant source of entertainment, you know, with their everyday goings on and the ins and outs and activity in the colonies. It's really, really good.
Jane Cooper, post office worker. Penguins jump out of the icy water, then waddle across the snow.
Back at the water's edge, some of the gentoos are bringing pebbles ashore from the seabed.
2 penguins fly out of the water, then slide over the ice.
There are no trees on Antarctica, so instead of using twigs or leaves to build nests, these penguins make theirs from small stones. Picking out the best one and carrying it all the way to the nest site is the penguin equivalent of giving a loved one a box of chocolates.
A rocky peak covered in patchy snow with a band of thick mist around it.
During the summer months, Port Lockroy is under almost 24-hour daylight, and the sea ice is finally starting to break up.
Chunks of floating ice move with the ocean current.
Outside the post office, the couple under the Union Jack are busy building up their nest.
Their nest sits at the bottom of the post office's flagpole. One of the nest builders lifts a stone with its beak, then heads back to the flagpole and adds it to the pile of rocks already collected.
Down behind the boat shed, this pair of penguins is well ahead of the game. They've lucked out and have found an old nest, already free of snow. Over the past week, they've been adding new stones, piling them one on top of the other, to create good drainage from snow and rain. A dry nest is essential if these birds are to have any success in raising young.
A penguin pair and a lone penguin snap at each other.
Penguins are fiercely protective of their pile of stones, and because nests are so tightly packed together in the colony, neighbourly disputes constantly break out. And a nest left unattended for more than a few seconds is in danger of being stolen.
A penguin jumps from a rock onto a collection of stones, then is chased away by the nest's owner. The other owner of the nest joins its partner.
A large cruise ship has arrived in the bay. Tourists from all over the world have each paid thousands of pounds to be here.
They cross the water in rubber dinghies.
Coming to Antarctica is, for a lot of them, it's a lifelong ambition. You know, it's a dream they've had. Many of the people on the ships are fairly elderly, and they say, I've wanted to do this all my life.
Coming ashore is a chance for close-up photos of gentoos. Whilst inside, there's a plethora of penguin-themed mementos and gifts.
A tourist's holding several stuffed toy penguins.
The appeal is so great that many people part with over £500 in a single shopping spree. But above all, everyone delights in the simple act of sending a postcard from the Penguin Post Office.
To find a little bit of Britain tucked away here in the Antarctic is wonderful, just wonderful.
It's a surprise to people that they can be so far away from home, and it seems so strange in so many other respects, and yet here's this familiar concept of a post office and the chance to keep in touch.
We're writing to our daughters. I don't know what you're planning to say.
I'm just planning to tell them this is a fantastic place to be.
To my darling family, it is so hard to describe this amazing place. I really am at the end of the world. Snow, wind and penguins all around. What an adventure we are having.
Freezing conditions, penguins, snowing, rough seas, unbelievable and spectacular scenery.
This car is to ourselves.
Almost everything has a penguin on it, including specially designed stamps that take postcards the world over. And not surprisingly, the Gentoo colony that surrounds the post office makes a great impression.
They toddle along, they waddle along, and they fall over and they get up again.
You could just watch them for hours because their antics are just so adorable.
I think I have about 800 pictures of penguins on my camera, and I don't want to delete one of them.
But in spite of their comic appeal, gentoos are not always as innocent as they look. And given half a chance, they'll cheat on their partner. Back by the boat shed, a female returns to her nest site to find her partner has been up to no good. Another lady has taken her place, and she's not going to stand for it.
She beats the newcomer with her flippers.
She viciously attacks the unwelcome female, whilst the unfaithful male watches on.
The returned penguin drives the newcomer across the snow, hitting her with her flippers and pecking at her with a beak.
Finally, she returns and reprimands her partner. He gets it in the neck for his philandering ways.
Another pair of penguins mate.
Penguins are prolific lovemakers and mate frequently throughout the summer. The male bows to his partner and appears to arouse her by flapping his flippers.
He's standing behind her.
If the female submits to his charms, she lies down and the male mounts her back.
The couple have their beaks against each other.
For the male, it's an acrobatic balancing act to stay on top.
Another penguin couple mate, the male's flippers flapping against his partner's back.
When the moment's right, the pair briefly rub their private parts together, allowing the male to transfer sperm by a process known as a cloacal kiss. If the egg is successfully fertilised, a chick will be expected in around 2 months' time. But things do not always go exactly according to plan.
Another penguin pecks at a mating male's tail, forcing the bird off his partner's back. A penguin on its rocky nest.
It's approaching the end of November, and the penguin pair that was ahead of the game with building their nest are amongst the first on the island to be sitting on eggs.
The Union Jack flutters in the breeze.
A few days later, Eggs also appear in the nest under the Union Jack.
One of the parents lies down on top of the eggs.
Most females lay a clutch of two, each coated by a thick shell to protect them from cracking against the stones.
Snow falls on nesting penguins.
In the Antarctic, keeping eggs at a constant 35 degrees centigrade poses a real challenge. But both male and female, who take equal share in incubation duties, have a brood pouch, a hollow area of bare skin that's lined with blood vessels to transfer heat from parent to egg.
A penguin's bare patch of skin up close.
For the next month, they will continually turn their eggs to ensure that heat is evenly distributed, giving the developing chick the best chance of survival.
A skewer next to a nesting penguin.
Now they're sitting on eggs, the post office penguins face the challenge of protecting them from predators.
Slow motion footage shows the skewer hovering above the penguins nesting near the flagpole.
Skewers are formidable adversaries. They launch surprise attacks, dive-bombing penguins from the air.
The predator flaps its wings in the air, then swoops down amongst the penguins, which try to fight it off.
Despite brave attempts to drive this skewer away, repeated aerial assaults have caused an egg to be dislodged from the nest of a panicking penguin.
The skewer starts to devour the contents of the egg.
The skewer gets its reward.
One of the penguins drives the predator away.
Unlucky parents who lose their eggs to skewers will have to wait another year for their next chance to raise young.
The skewer returns to devour the rest of the spilled contents of the egg. The penguin drives it away again.
During this period of incubating eggs, one adult is always pinned to the nest, keeping eggs warm and defending them from predators, whilst the other is away fishing.
A penguin waddles across to a rocky nest.
This leaves the stones they've made such a concerted effort to gather easy pickings for thieving penguins.
The penguin waddles away with a stone in its beak, then drops it on its own nest.
In the boat shed, stone pilfering is rife, and one sly penguin is proving particularly adept at burgling the neighbours. Running through the colony, stone after stone is pinched and taken back to the nest.
The penguin steals another stone.
All penguins have criminal tendencies, and over the course of the breeding season, thousands of pebbles will be stolen and restolen in the competition to keep up the largest family pile.
A montage shows penguins stealing stones and taking them to their nests. Tourists cross the water on a rubber dinghy.
It's now the height of summer and the peak of the Antarctic tourist season.
Tourists point their cameras at the penguins.
The post office penguins don't appear the least bothered by the presence of people and seem perfectly happy to pose for photographs.
A tourist takes snaps through a camera with a long lens attached, then Christie opens the postbox.
With an average of two ship visits a day, there are a lot of postcards to be processed. But for Christy, who is taking a sabbatical from teaching at the University of Washington, the chance to work in Antarctica is a welcome break from academia.
She franks piles of postcards with a red stamp.
So we hand frank everything here at Port Lockroy. This year we'll do probably between 60 and 80,000 postcards by hand like this. It's kind of relaxing. It's probably one of my favorite things that I do here, actually.
A tourist writes a postcard on top of a checkered tablecloth.
People write about penguins. They're always writing about penguins. And so many people send messages of love, really. You know, just love to their family and their friends. I think that's because this place really is romantic in a very wild kind of way. And that's what people are trying to capture. And they only have a couple of lines on a postcard. And so they'll often just say things like, this is magical, you know, and it's a dream come true, and it's once in a lifetime experience, and I agree with them fully. It is pretty magical here.
Rocky outcrops covered in snow and a sunny sky with puffy white clouds.
It's not just the post office and penguins that draw people to this region. The Antarctic Peninsula is scenically by far the most dramatic region of the continent. And it also provides a rich diversity of wildlife.
A sea lion opens its mouth underwater. A humpback whale surfaces, then flops over and submerges itself.
The peninsula is an extension of the South American Andes, forming a coastal spine of mountains whose jagged peaks rise out of the ocean. This otherworldly landscape of glaciers and ice casts a spell on all of those that have the fortune to visit.
Living in the Antarctic is really hard to describe. The colours here, it's just hues of blue and grey and white and very bright, even on a dull day. You hear the waves on the beach, or you hear the calls of the birds, or the sounds of the weather, the snow or the hail. It's just the nearest thing I could imagine to being on another planet, on our planet.
Sped-up footage shows clouds drifting over the rocky outcrops. A penguin shuffles over the eggs in its nest. One of them has a crack in its shell, exposing part of the chick.
It's the end of December, and over the past 24 hours, the first Gentoo chick on the island, with the aid of a sharp little egg tooth on the tip of its beak, has been slowly breaking free of its egg.
The brooding parent nudges at the egg with its beak, then shuffles its feet. The egg breaks apart, then the brooding parent steps off it to reveal its newly hatched offspring.
Once hatched, weighing little more than a couple of ounces, this vulnerable chick is born blind to the world.
The chick rests on its sibling's egg.
Emerging from the egg has been an exhausting process, and the chick barely has the strength to hold up its head.
It nestles into its parent.
With just a thin layer of down, the chick has no means of regulating heat. So for the next 2 weeks, it will be completely reliant on its parents to provide warmth. Seconds after hatching, the chick instinctively makes repeated begging calls to be fed, which the parent answers by regurgitating food from its stomach.
The chick pokes its head down its parent's beak, then is rewarded with a beak full of food. There's a hole in the second egg, but it hasn't hatched.
With up to 3 days between the first and second hatching, the chance to feed and gain valuable weight gives the firstborn a considerable head start over its sibling in the race for survival.
The chick, still in the egg, cheeps as its sibling feeds from their parent's beak. Slow-motion footage shows penguins leaping across the ocean, their flippers propelling them through the water.
Now there are hungry mouths to feed. Parent penguins take it in turns to go on day-long fishing trips that can take them as far as 10 miles from the colony. But with super streamlined bodies and immensely powerful flippers, these journeys are effortless as they literally fly through water.
Slow motion footage shows water splashing around the penguins as they leap in and out of the water.
Forage dives, lasting up to 3 minutes, can take them to depths exceeding 200 metres. They reach speeds in excess of 20 miles an hour, making them the fastest swimming birds on Earth.
A group of penguins dives towards the bottom of the ocean.
The penguins' main quarry is krill, small crustaceans that form immense swarms and underpin all life in the Antarctic.
Underwater footage shows masses of krill, then a penguin gliding, only occasionally using its flippers. A penguin surfaces in icy water.
Gentoos may make as many as 450 dives in a single day's foraging. And if they've been successful in gorging themselves on krill, they return to the colony half a kilo heavier.
A penguin waddles towards its brooding partner.
As soon as a penguin returns from fishing, it waddles back to the nest to find its partner. Because they have been separated for the best part of a day, the pair reaffirm their bond by the formal ritual of bowing heads. Then they swap positions, and the returning adult feeds the newly hatched chick. Both parents divide their time equally between caring for the young and foraging for food. Within a week, most of the eggs on the island have hatched, and the majority of nests have two chicks demanding round-the-clock attention.
Two chicks beneath their parents.
Because the summer season is so short, the chicks need to grow fast to survive the cold months ahead. So in just 3 weeks, they're likely to quadruple in size. Competition between chicks is fierce, and if food becomes scarce, the parents will favour the strongest chick, leaving the weaker one to perish.
A chick accepts food from its parent's beak, then gulps it down.
At this stage of their development, the chicks are vulnerable to attack from skewers, and the penguin adults are on high alert.
Slow-motion footage shows two penguins chasing a skewer into the air. A skewer returns to its nesting partner.
But the skewers have needs of their own. Skewers come to Port Lockroy in the summer months to breed. They establish nests in shallow rocky depressions called scrapes, and the female usually lays a clutch of two eggs. The adults share in incubating the eggs, swapping over every few hours. Like the penguins, they have to be quick to switch positions to ensure the eggs don't lose heat.
A bird settles onto its eggs, then a skewer swoops low over a group of penguins.
Penguin chicks are now a prized source of food for the skuas, and hunting intensifies.
Flapping its wings, the predator hovers above its prey, who are looking up at it.
The skua is a dogged opponent, continually surveying the colony for the chance of a quick kill.
Two chicks shelter beneath their parents' belly. The skua hovers in the sky above the penguins, then glides away. The penguins are gathered on a rocky cliff beside the water. Across the water are snow-covered peaks. A skua perched on the snow is pulling apart the body of a penguin chick with its beak.
For this unlucky chick, it's a gruesome end, as the skua attempts to swallow it whole.
The skua manages to fit most of the penguin in its beak, then flies off with the rest of the chick hanging out. At the post office, the Union Jack's fluttering in the breeze, and a large area of white cloud hovers over the building.
Life's a bit more cosy in the Penguin post office, and with so many tourists, the postcards are piling high. Christie bundles them up, and they're taken by cruise ship 900 miles north to the Falkland Islands. The Royal Air Force then fly them all the way to England, where they enter the UK postal system and are dispatched worldwide. They'll take up to 6 weeks to reach their final destination.
Christie loads bundles of postcards into a mailbag.
It's now mid-January, and the chicks are quickly growing.
One flaps its flippers.
Too big to sit under the parent, they're starting to discover there's a world beyond the nest. Down behind the boat shed, this plucky little fellow, still a couple of months from learning the true purpose of flippers, is taking his first uncertain steps towards independence.
The chick stumbles forward, then frantically flaps his flippers. Continuing to flap them, he moves further away from his family. His journey takes him into the path of an adult penguin, which steps menacingly towards him.
Soon the chick is given a very valuable lesson. Don't annoy the neighbours.
As the adult penguin drives the chick away, his parent appears to protect their offspring.
For now, chicks won't dare venture far from the nest.
Two chicks stumble over stony terrain, then one of them slides down a large rock on its feet.
But even the shortest excursion provides plenty of opportunity to practice the tricky art of rock climbing.
As its parent looks on, a chick stumbles up a large rock. Another young penguin loses its footing on the stony terrain, then an adult penguin follows its offspring as it jumps from ledge to ledge.
Food is still by far the biggest preoccupation, but instead of just being fed on demand, the chicks are now being made to work for it.
Two chicks, a large one and a small one, chase after their parent. They catch up, then the parent quickly waddles away.
The parent, forcing its chicks to chase for a feed, encourages competition, where the strongest and most determined gets fed first.
The parent feeds both of its chicks. The larger one has a flipper resting on its sibling's back.
Food chasing also helps the chicks build up strength in preparation for the time when they'll need to fend for themselves.
A chick falls on its face, then gets up.
By adulthood, penguins become such fast runners that over short distances, they can outrun a human.
A chick chases after its parent, then two young penguins feed from their parent's beak. One baby penguin's lying on its sibling's back. A chick's soft, downy feathers flutter in the breeze. Then snow, driven by a ferocious wind, blows around a penguin that's buried in the snow, its head sticking out. Three penguins stand facing the brunt of the wind, snow sticking to their feathers.
A strong wind has brought blizzard conditions to Port Lockroy. But the rough weather hasn't deterred the tourists, who've taken refuge in the Penguin Post Office to buy penguin paraphernalia and send postcards home.
I wrote a postcard to ourselves, and I said that 暴风雪中登陆, in Chinese, which means we landed here in blizzard. So best wishes from the end of the world. That's all.
Snow is blowing across the landscape.
I mean, Antarctica's not like any other holiday destination. The weather takes priority. You have to expect the unexpected. You really can't plan. You know, it is a hostile place. It's a hostile environment. It always has been, and it always will be for people.
A post office worker makes her way through the blizzard.
We're here at the post office on the worst day that we've encountered so far since we began our journey in Antarctica.
It is very cold and snowy. The penguins are everywhere. It's amazing the robustness and capability to sustain bad weather. We are hardly sustaining the storm outside, and they are as if it's a sunny day for them.
The penguins are just completely soaking it all up, loving this weather, so it really provides perspective. They are adapted to be here, and we are not.
An adult penguin and two chicks are standing in the path of the blizzard, snow sticking to their feathers. Snowy peaks on a calm day.
As the weeks go by, curiosity and the strong urge to explore is taking the chicks further and further from the nest.
A seagull wanders amongst the penguins, then an adult penguin drives a chick away.
As they run the gauntlet of the colony and enter neighbouring territories, the chicks are repeatedly bullied and harassed.
An adult penguin chases after two chicks, then another adult squabbles with the bully.
The chicks seem slow to learn that neighbours aren't always welcoming, and it pays to keep out of the way.
A chick tries to run a gauntlet of unfriendly adult penguins. They set upon him, pecking him with their beaks. Other penguins attack the chick as he tries to escape. Then he flops onto his back, blood marking his chest.
One chick has fallen victim to a vicious assault.
Several adult penguins surround the chick, pecking him relentlessly. He's lying on his belly, seemingly unable to get up or escape.
Although it's been bloodied and is now severely weakened, the adult's attack is unrelenting.
Two penguins continue to peck at the chick, causing his downy feathers to fly off.
This distressing behaviour is rarely witnessed, so we can only speculate why it's occurred.
The chick flops onto his back.
Perhaps it shows the extreme lengths the penguins will go to in order to defend their territory.
The wounded chick stops moving and the adults stop their attack. Another baby penguin shuffles towards the chick's body.
The dead chick's sibling returns and lays its head down on the corpse, as if mourning the loss of its companion.
The sibling raises its head, revealing patches of bloody feathers on the dead chick's corpse. After a while, the chick gets up and tries to feed from its parent's beak. Patchy clouds cover a large area of the sky. One of the skua parents is minding its newly hatched young.
At the skua's nest, an empty shell is obvious evidence that there's been a recent hatching.
The skua chick emerges from beneath its parent. It peers around, then shuffles a couple of steps away from the adult.
This ball of fluff will stay under the protection of its parent's wing only for a couple of days. After this short time, it will leave the nest and take refuge in the nearby rocks, freeing both parents to forage for food.
The chick pecks at the remnants of its egg, then crunches the shell in its beak.
When it comes to feeding time, the adult, returning from a successful hunt, lands a good distance from the nest, so as not to reveal its location to predators like giant petrels or even other skuas.
The chick clambers over rocks.
Surprisingly agile, by instinct the chick clambers across the rocks to meet the reward of food.
The chick makes it over to the returning parent, who's about 2 meters away.
The male regurgitates the contents of his stomach, presenting the chick with semi-digested fish. The female, who has spent so much time on the nest brooding the chick, shares in the spoils.
The parents pull the fish apart.
This year, her other egg will fail, and this chick will be their only offspring.
The chick hungrily chews on a beakful of fish, drops it on the rocks, then grabs it again, this time swallowing it. Outside the post office, tourists are snapping photos.
It's now the beginning of February, and with the tourist season still in full swing, the chicks are starting to gang together in nursery groups called creches.
Three chicks waddle across the rocks together.
The chicks need to stick together because their parents are now spending long periods at sea foraging for food. The chicks now have a very healthy appetite, and the parents have to work hard to meet the ever-growing demand.
An adult penguin hops from shore onto a chunk of floating ice, then dives into the water. Other adults follow. An adult feeds its offspring.
But what goes in one end comes out the other.
I do love the penguins, but it is not all... they poop a lot.
And with so many pooping chicks on the loose, it's a constant battle for the post office workers.
Living with the penguins does cause us some challenges, you know, the smell and the mess. I mean, the penguins are constantly pooping everywhere. We have a path, a rocky path that leads up to the base, and all our passengers, all the visitors walk up this path. And we have to keep that clean so that not too much gets walked into the base. So every morning we collect buckets of seawater from the sea and scrub the rocks clean.
One of the workers spills seawater onto the rocks, then scrubs at the penguin feces with a stiff bristled broom.
We don't honestly really notice the smell, but everybody else does. So it can be quite funny when you're in the post office and one of the passengers will say, how do you cope with the smell of the penguins? And the first thought that goes through your mind is, I can't really smell the penguins. And I think we absorb their smell too, so we all smell together come the end of the season.
Just like lazy teenagers, the chicks are quite happy to sit around while all the work's being done.
Jane scrubs at the rocky path with a broom, then pushes the seawater down past a group of baby penguins. The penguins' nesting rocks are covered in patchy snow.
By mid-February, the adults start looking very dishevelled. This scruffy stage is known as the annual molt, where old feathers that have started to lose their insulating and waterproofing properties are replaced by new ones.
Dishevelled feathers up close.
It's a stressful time as they're in no condition to enter the water and fish. Because of this, parents take it in turns to molt, ensuring one still remains able to feed the chicks. Over this 20-day molting period, the adult fasts, and having only fat reserves to survive on, they lose up to half their body weight.
Chicks facing in the same direction.
The chicks are also transforming and beginning to look a bit like punks with Mohican hairdos. They are also molting, quickly losing their downy baby fluff for adult plumage. Soon, the chicks will be indistinguishable from their parents, and as winter approaches, it won't be long before they are ready to enter the water.
Snow rains down upon the penguins and the post office.
The chicks are now congregating in even bigger groups. Ganging together provides safety in numbers, making them far less vulnerable to predation.
A skua's standing near a large group of baby penguins. It suddenly takes off, then swoops above them, landing between them and a cliff overlooking the water.
A skua chances its luck. The chicks flee, but continue to stick together in tight formation.
The skua hurries after them.
Not deterred, the skua persists, harassing the chicks on the off chance it will be able to pick off a weak one.
The penguins scramble away.
But as the chase continues, the tables start to turn.
The penguins start to chase the skua away.
The chicks gain confidence, and as a united front, they start to chase the skua.
Working as a group, the penguin chicks surround the skua. The skua suddenly flies off.
A valuable lesson. When you're a penguin, it's best to stick with the crowd.
Two of the postal office workers clean the post office windows from outside.
While the post office workers get on with some much-needed pre-winter maintenance, the chicks are beginning to discover a new element. Water.
One chick tentatively dips its beak in the water's edge.
The young ones are curious, though seem a little nervous about getting their feet wet.
A chick shuffles into shallow water, then submerges part of his head.
But hunger is a powerful incentive, and to encourage chicks to take the plunge, parent penguins draw them down to the water's edge by making them chase for food.
A chick chases its parent across shallow, rocky water, then into the deeper ocean.
Once they enter the water, the chicks have to learn how to swim by trial and error. Soon, the chicks will be feeding themselves and will at last gain full independence of their parents.
Underwater footage shows the penguins swimming around in shallow water. A strong wind blows snow across the landscape.
It's the beginning of March, and winter is fast approaching.
Christy and Jane exit the post office carrying mailbags.
The tourist season has ended, and the post office workers are dispatching the last post.
As Jane and Christy trudge across the rocks and snow, a penguin scampers out of their way.
It's a day of reflection, as this is also the day that the team is packing up and leaving Port Lockroy for home.
The Union Jack's fluttering in the breeze.
Being in this environment for so long, really, I think we get a sense of what life is in Antarctica. Not for us, because we're not meant to be here really as people, but for the creatures that evolve to be in this environment, and to bear witness to that is very, very special.
A strong wind's covering the penguins in snow.
The team has chosen one of the worst days of the season to leave the island. And as they struggle against storm force winds to take down the Union Jack, their thoughts inevitably turn towards home.
I think we're all looking forward to getting back to certain things at home, but we'll all go back with a different outlook on life. The experience of coming here is life-changing. It takes you back to what's really important in life. It takes you down to the bare essentials and makes you realise that all the stuff you think you need at home, you actually don't. And that's, it's refreshing.
The team is heading to a nearby cruise ship, which will take them to South America. For the next 7 months, the base will remain unoccupied until a new group of volunteers returns and opens up the post office for another summer season of tourism.
It does cast a spell on you when you go home. It leaves a lasting impression on you, and it's very hard to not want to come back. I know that I will want to come back in some way at some point.
The postal workers board a rubber dinghy, then wave goodbye to the penguins as the boat speeds away.
But over the winter, the penguins remain around Port Lockroy, and these tough, resilient birds will brave many months of brutal sub-zero temperatures.
Penguins dive underwater.
Soon, all the fully grown chicks will join their parents on regular long-distance fishing trips, where finally they'll become masters of their Antarctic home.
The birds soar through water.
Then next summer, in huge numbers, the penguins will gather once again to start the process of breeding at the Penguin Post Office.
Return of Sister Mary Clarence next on BBC Two. Whoopi Goldberg back in the habit for Sister Act Two.